Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff and we're delighted to have you with us today. And today we're going to be talking about yet another aspect of how you can go about advocating for yourself and one woman's journey of how she learned that herself. Let me, before we get into introducing our guest, I would like to tell you a little bit about the VHL Family Alliance, who brings you this show every week. We are a group of patients with a complex medical condition, and we've learned a lot about how to advocate for ourselves, and we wanted to share that and to learn from other people who've been down similar journeys. So let me play you a little bit of information about what VHL stands for, what it is, and we'll be back in just 1 minute to speak with our guest.
Von Hippel-Lindau disease, or VHL, is a genetic condition involving abnormal growth of tumors in some parts of the body. VHL occurs in every ethnic group worldwide. At this time, there's no cure, but research is helping those afflicted and their families learn how to manage their disease. When a family member has a tumor, it affects everyone in the family. VHL Alliance works to improve diagnosis, treatment, and the quality of life. Finding tumors early, getting the best treatment, and sharing information with others to help them cope is what VHL Alliance is all about. They're available to help lessen the stress of living with this lifetime chronic disease. Support the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance at VHL.org. That's Very Happy Life, VHL.org. 1-800-767-4-VHL.
Thank you very much. And today I'd like to introduce our very special guest. This is Gracelyn Guyall, the author of Healing Depression and Bipolar Disorder Without Drugs. And welcome, Gracelyn.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you. It's wonderful for you to be here with us. So tell us what inspired you to write this book. How did your journey begin here?
Well, oddly enough, I was not even diagnosed as bipolar until my mid-40s. And my journey started with that diagnosis, but not with me trying to end those symptoms. I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 in my 40s. My mother had been a bipolar patient all her life, but not diagnosed until she was 70 years old. And so I had depression on and off since my teenage years, but the manic episodes between the depression weren't that high. They were just seemed like wonderful spurts of energy between this downs of depression. So I sort of welcomed them, and I was able to get a lot done in those interludes. As I aged, however, the manic highs got higher and the depressive lows got lower with age. And finally, it was diagnosed. I was put on an antidepressant, Wellbutrin, and life seemed to be a little simpler, not less chaotic, maybe. But a year later, I started growing breast cysts and tumors so rapidly, I had surgery twice in 12 months. And when I said to the doctor, all of the ones that they biopsied were benign, so I thought, well, I have a little time to figure this out. And I said, well, what can we do to try and stop these growths, because they started really rapidly? And my gynecologist said, well, we really don't do anything except monitor them until one becomes malignant, and then we swing into action. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound like a great plan to wait for cancer to develop. So I consulted a doctor, a type of doctor that had been trained differently, a naturopathic doctor that are called NDs instead of MDs. And then the same undergraduate work as an MD, but then they go on to learn, instead of drugs and surgery, how to reverse illnesses using all natural substances that those cells need to function. And so I consulted a naturopathic doctor. I said these growths started rapidly. there must be a cause. Can you help me figure out the cause? And they said, sure. So immediately they put me on an anti-inflammatory diet, which is posted on my website that I'll give you later. And because inflammation contributes to tumor growth, and it also contributes to arthritis, as everyone knows, it's a contributor to heart disease. And I later learned it also is a factor in mental disorders. So inflammation is sort of a omnipresent factor in all of these degenerative diseases.
It's sort of an irritant, a basic irritant that our bodies have to cope with.
And it overloads the immune system. So the immune system ultimately becomes less able to function and overreactive to everything. So so I went on this anti-inflammatory diet. She had me start taking a high-quality multivitamin and mineral and to make sure that my cells were getting all the nutrients, as well as having revamped my diet, just sort of insurance. And that included 1,000 milligrams of fish oils a day, which is for its anti-inflammatory properties, and taking calcium, magnesium, and taking vitamin D. So within 2 weeks, I felt more energetic. And it wasn't mania, because I was still taking the antidepressant. And and within 6 weeks, all of my arthritis pains totally disappeared. And my shoulders had been so sore and painful from arthritis and my spine that I couldn't sleep on either side at night. I hadn't been for 3 years. And my father had the same problem, so I just thought it was genetic and there wasn't anything I could do about it.
Right.
But by changing my diet, it disappeared, all those pains.
Hmm.
And so I started doing lectures at that time and writing about how you can end arthritis just by altering the types of foods that you eat, because some are highly inflammatory. So within 6 months, I began to lose weight, and I dropped 15 pounds without counting a calorie, because I was just basically not eating junk anymore and eating a more balanced diet that was lower in carbs, actually. Because my doctor had had me, one of the things on the anti-inflammatory diet was to cut out all wheat, because it's the number one allergen undiagnosed, and it contributes to the inflammatory cascade. So within 6 months, I dropped to the weight that I had been, a healthy weight in high school, of around 120 pounds. I'm 5'4", so that was, and you know, small bones, so that was appropriate. And people started saying to me, "You look wonderful. What are you doing?" And they were talking about my skin and my energy and my sort of healthy glow. So I began to do some lectures about what I had learned thus far. At the same time that I was doing all of this, on my own, I started eliminating every chemical I could think of in my house, in skin and hair care products, because I had learned from just the little research that I'd done that toxins can cause cells to mutate. So I was trying to unload every toxin I could think of. So I totally cleared my house of chemical cleaners and went to all plant-based products. And this was 10 years ago when they were hard to find. I did the same with any skin and hair care products, shampoos. I went to all plant-based, and that caused me to become aware of just how polluted our environment is, what a toxic load everyone is carrying. And so I became an ardent environmentalist and edited a 62-page booklet that's called Earth-Friendly Alternatives to Herbicides, Pesticides, and Household Chemicals. So everything was going great, and the cyst growth slowed down and stopped, and the tumors slowed down, but 18 months later, one new tumor appeared. And I went to a cancer clinic to have it biopsied. And I asked the doctor there, have you casually observed that women on antidepressants have more tumors than others? And he said, well, we haven't looked at that, but we have observed that they have more breast discharge. So we know that these drugs impact breast tissue. So that clue, and I had already asked my psychiatrist, do these drugs contribute to cancer? And they checked the research, and they said they increased mammary tumors in mice, but that was deemed inconclusive because the mice were being given such a high level of dose given their body weight. So with those two clues, I decided, okay, my bipolar was never life-threatening, and it's getting worse, but cancer could be. So I'm going to go off this drug and see what happens. So I tapered off the drug. Within 2 months, that
with your doctor's help, right?
No, actually, I did not. I tell people to do that now, but I tapered off and I used.
I just wanted to make sure that we leave that with our listeners. That going off any kind of mood altering drug, it's best to do it under a doctor's guidance.
In fact, if especially since so many people are on more than one drug and it's not so simple, and they will have side effects, I put that in my book. But at that time, I didn't know that. And I tapered off, and I used St. John's Wort. And but the other thing that I've learned is that when doctors taper people off the drugs, they make sure they're on all the supplements for at least a month that I'd been taking for 18 months. And so that
So just to clarify, so we make sure that the message gets through to all our listeners.
Yep.
So the vitamin therapy that you are on is also extremely important for supporting mood. And so before you start messing with changing the amounts of the mood-altering drugs that you may be on, you need to make sure that your body is up for this. So you need to have all those vitamins in place. How long did you say he recommended?
Well, most doctors get them on supplements for a month before they try and wean them off medications. And they do it in a variety of ways. And in
then never go off cold turkey. You need to taper it down and do it with the guidance of your doctor.
And the oversight, because a lot of times, especially with some of the stronger medications, the people will have a reoccurrence of what they believe to be severe symptoms of their illness, and it's actually a symptom of withdrawal. So you need to be monitored. I was very fortunate, but it was also that I had been on all these healthy nutrients for 18 months before I ever attempted this.
Right, and let's just go through that list again so everybody has it top of mind. You mentioned vitamin D and fish oil.
You need a multivitamin and mineral that's a very high-quality one. And one of the ways is hopefully it can be food-based so that it's not synthetic-produced minerals and vitamins because the body doesn't know how to use those as well and they're not as potent.
Right.
And I always, in the multivitamin and mineral, one of my tests, is this a good quality one, is if they have 200 micrograms of chromium and 200 micrograms of selenium.
And this is in the multivitamin tablet.
In the multivitamin. And those are important because chromium helps stabilize your blood sugar. And mood often follows blood sugar.
Interesting.
And selenium is a potent antiviral. And lots of times people are dealing with viral loads, parasites, and stuff like that. So it's really essential to have this antiviral mineral, selenium, in your multivitamin. And the better ones all have.
Right. Right, and you mentioned vitamin D. This will be specifically vitamin D3. And vitamin D3 deficiency is rampant in the United States. They estimate that about half of the people in the U.S. are low on vitamin D3 because now we don't spend as much time in the sunshine. Children don't go out and play ball. They stay home and play you know, their video games and watch TV and blah, 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 and they're not out in the sunshine.
Yeah. When they do go in the sun, they slather on block because everybody's been made afraid of getting cancer, not realizing
right.
that to be healthy, you must have some sun exposure. And so the University of Toronto did research on this, being geographically in a good location to do it, and they recommend, based on their research, 4,000 IU a day, not 400, which is the RDA. So the RDA is way out of date.
Right, the RDA is the recommended dietary
allowance
the idea is it's the minimum. If you drop below that, you are in serious jeopardy. But minimum does not mean optimal, and that's the difference that we sometimes see in those recommendations. So the RDA, the recommended lower limit of how much you should have, is 400, but the actual optimal limit is more like 4,000.
And you can go higher than that, actually. It's not it's not dangerous.
Right. But vitamin D is something that you can take too much of. So the best way to do it is to ask your doctor to measure it. There's a simple blood test that they can do. The next time you go in for a complete blood count, just ask them to check your vitamin D. They can do it all in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
And then you'll get some real numbers to look at and say, yes, indeed, you're low, and yes, indeed, 4,000 would be a good supplement.
And this is all of the things that we've been talking about are in my latest book, which maybe you didn't know about, called Who's Crazy Here? And it's the chapter under Brain Basics. And that talks about vitamin D. It talks about the omega-3 fish oils, which they need to take for therapeutic levels are 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams a day. I had been taking 1,000 milligrams for anti-inflammatory purposes when I started using fish oils therapeutically for mental illness. I went up to 3,000 milligrams a day, which I maintain today, 10 years later. And you need to stay hydrated. Water is really important, and people are drinking way too much soda. That the corn syrup and all the sugars, even in fruit juice, are too much for your system.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, if you drink fruit juice, dilute it 50-50 with water and drink it as a treat, not as your main drink for the day. And then another thing that that I have in the Brain Basics chapter is that people need to eat regular meals. It's like they feel you don't have to fuel your brain. You can just fuel it once a day. And that's not so. The brain really burns through the nutrients, and it needs fuel every few hours. And I think that's why if kids don't eat breakfast, or if they eat a sugary breakfast that spikes their blood sugar and then it drops right at 11 o'clock, they're going to have attention deficit. They're going to be tired. They're going to be cranky.
Right.
They can't focus. So you need
So the first guideline is never skip a meal. But even more than that, a lot of people do better on like six small meals rather than three big meals.
I talk about three meals a day plus two snacks and what to put in those snacks, because snacks is not a candy bar and potato chips. This is what you're trying to do is, I call it a nutrient-dense diet. You're trying to get everything that you put in your mouth be nutrients that will fuel the brain and fuel the cells. And what I
like, what's a good snack? A good snack?
Quick brainer snacks. I talk about vegetable sticks. Wash, cut vegetables into strips and refrigerate them. Celery, carrots, bell peppers, zucchini, green beans, whole, fennel, cucumber. And just keep them in a container so that it's an easy, open the door and grab a snack. Healthy dip.
Right.
You need some protein with your snack, a little bit, not a lot. So do a bean dip with hummus or black bean with chili. Guacamole is a great snack. Peanut butter. Those are good if you're not allergic to peanuts or nuts. Check first.
Right.
Olives, tapenade, salsa. These don't have to be boring. They just have to be ready in your refrigerator, because when you're hungry, you don't want a snack to take the time of a meal. And fruit.
Right, easy access.
Yeah.
As you say, if you can just reach and grab it, then you're more likely to eat it. But if that slice of bread or that cupcake or something is more accessible than the carrots, then you're likely to gravitate toward that.
Well, and also if you wait until you're really starving, then you'll grab something sugary and really sweet because it'll hit your system quick and stop that starving. But then you're on a roller coaster because your blood sugar spikes, and then it'll, in some people, it drops abnormally low and their mood drops with it. And so then you'll be starving again, eat some junk, and then it'll spike again. So you have these roller coaster days. So those are some of the what are the brain basics is a nutrient-dense diet, supplements, which include vitamins and minerals, fish oils, and vitamin D. And then there are special supplements. And in my book, there are three supplements that have been designed, were designed originally for bipolar patients. And they have an amino acid in them that also addresses they address a genetic error that is found in a lot of people with mental illness. And so these help. When I had the genetic errors identified, there were two that were discovered in psychiatric hospitals in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And the solutions, the way to compensate for these genetic errors is with specific vitamins and minerals and amino acids. And because these supplements can't be patented, these solutions and testing for these errors has been totally ignored for all these years. But I
will now. I had heard, too, that there were some chemical imbalances, I think it's the way it was phrased, that had been located in people with bipolar disorder that seemed to indicate that if you, you know, took the right chemicals or supplements, as you're saying, that one ought to be able to bring things back into balance.
And that's what actually happened. When I went off the drug and the tumor disappeared, then I said, I'm not taking any of these drugs, because by then I'd done enough research that I knew they had many dangerous side effects that are not well known or widely, you know, they somehow don't include those in the ads. And so so I said, if I can stop the growth of breast cysts and tumors by eliminating all the things that could cause it and by taking the things that enable my cells to function properly, I bet I can stop bipolar mood swings. And so I was able to, not based on my own research, but I found doctors who had been doing healing bipolar and schizophrenia for 20 years.
My goodness.
The solutions can't be patented. It's amino acids, vitamins,
so it doesn't get the big advertising budgets because they can't patent it and get patent protection and high prices.
And the AMA ignores it. So I was I was really angry for about 2 years. But I got over it and more rational. But anyhow, when so I went to this clinic outside of Chicago that identified that I had two of the four genetic disorders. And they were able to end my mania in 4 months. End it.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Because they identified the genetic causes of it. And so, but then I was depressed, and they couldn't figure out what was causing my depression. And I worked with them for 15 months, and the depression at this point was unrelenting. I didn't have those manic highs in between, so it was really tough. And then
you almost missed them because you didn't get any relief from it.
I wasn't nearly as functional because I didn't have the energy spurts in between. And then new research came out of Harvard. It was done in 1999, and I heard about it in 2000, where Dr. Andrew Stoll, who is, was a researcher at Harvard, and McLean, did a clinical trial with bipolar patients using high doses of fish oils. And this was the first time that had been done. And it was so successful they saw huge diminishment in symptoms of all bipolar patients. That they ended the clinical trials halfway through, and they put everybody on high loads of fish oils. And so I had these fish oils because I was taking 1,000 milligrams a day in the refrigerator. And I had been taking all the vitamins and minerals and all the things, all the cofactors that the brain needs. So when I added in the therapeutic levels of fish oils, 3,000 milligrams a day, within 48 hours, my depression lifted. And I haven't
had... Oh, for heaven's sake.
I haven't had any since 2002.
Oh, what a miracle.
So my experience was so dramatic that that's when I started to write Healing Depression and Bipolar Disorder Without Drugs. And that was my first book. It came out in 2006. I have no scientific training, so I had a huge learning curve, and I worked with alternative therapist, and I tracked down other people who'd done the same thing I'd done, and I included their stories, and then in the first half of each chapter was one story of healing, either depression or bipolar, and the second half of the chapter explored the science about how this worked in the body.
Good.
It was 200 and some pages. At workshops, patients told me, you know, we have a hard time focusing and reading any health book that's long and complicated. Can you just tell us the steps to take without all the science? And so that's my latest book that came out last year, Who's Crazy Here, has steps to recovery without drugs for 9 major mental disorders, everything from attention deficit to addiction, anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, and autism. And it's 114 pages because the first half of the book has chapters on causes that contribute to all of those disorders. Poor diet, mood disruptors such as not enough sleep, such as toxins, MSGs, things that are in the water, fluoride. And then it talks about how poor digestion can cause, if you take antibiotics that destroy the flora in your gut, they're equating poor digestion and mental disorders in there's a 60 to 90% overlap in those two conditions, because it makes sense. If you don't digest the nutrients properly, your brain still doesn't get the fuel that it needs.
Right, right. So the first step is we put it in our mouths. And the second step is it goes through that digestive tract. And hopefully the good stuff, the elements that we truly need for ourselves, gets derived from that food by the digestive process and now put into our bloodstream and made available to ourselves. But as you're saying, if the digestive process doesn't get all that good stuff out of the food and the food just goes merrily on out the other end, then our cells are still deprived.
But, you know, what I've come back to, and what when I consult with people, I don't try to be a doctor, but I do try to help them know where to start and help them find doctors, because that's sometimes hard to do, as you know.
Sure.
I consult, and if there's any family trend of multiple disorders in the family tree, they don't have to be bipolar. They can be my sister. I have 4 siblings. My mother was bipolar. My father didn't seem to have any disorders. I have a sister who's had mild depression all her life. One brother was an alcoholic. The other brother, interestingly, has been 100 pounds overweight all his life in spite of being a vegetarian. And I was bipolar. So what we all have is errors of metabolism, genetic errors of metabolism. So I recommend that if there's any indication of odd behavior in the family tree, diagnosed or not, that they get this test for these 4 genetic disorders that have been so well documented and are really easy to treat. And so
how does one get these tests? What's it called and how do you find it?
There is a $200 metabolic panel. And that tests for all four of the disorders. And you can go to, the website is www, and I'm going to say it and then spell it, pyroluriatesting.com.
Okay.
And pyroluriatesting.com.
Okay.
And it's a simple $200 lab test tells you if you have one of these disorders. And so I recommend that people start there if they're battling a mental illness. Get that test.
Is this something you can order yourself in the open market, or is something you need to do through a doctor, or what?
Through this website, if you have a doctor's signature to order, if your doctor will order this for you, then it's a $200 charge. If you do not have a doctor, they will provide a doctor through this website at another additional $100 charge. So you can go.
And this is a blood test or what?
Yes.
Blood
test.
Okay.
Yes. It's called a metabolic panel. And so that, and there are other websites that also offer it. So I have, at the end of each chapter in my new book, I have resources. Because to keep the book short and to not go into the science, I did two things very differently. I just stuck to real basics, and then if people wanted more information that I trust and use, I put it at the end in resources. And I also, in this new book, told them how to find doctors who are trained to heal and treat all disorders without drugs. And I called that Sherlock's process, using the internet, how to find these doctors.
Right.
And the process of healing is basically providing optimum nutrients that all cells need, including brain cells, to function right. Eliminating the potential causes of dysfunction, brain dysfunction or cellular dysfunction. And then in many instances, mental illnesses can actually be triggered by emotional trauma, rape, incest, horrific accidents, war, such as PTSD. And so there's a chapter on treatments that will release the emotional trauma and correct the brain waves. When you experience trauma, it alters your brain wave pattern from a healthy pattern to a dysfunctional pattern. That can be changed back. And so I give the different treatments that have shown to be beneficial.
Okay. So you're saying PTSD is in part the event that just occurred, and in part it's waking up other innate processes that have been sort of lying there ready to be triggered?
PTSD is a combination of toxic overload, which most vets have during war. There's all the gunshot powders, sprays, exfoliants, all of these very toxic chemicals. And so for vets, you need to detox, give them the right nutrients so their cells can get all this toxic soup out of their system, and use treatments to help then the brain waves go back into a healthy pattern so that they won't keep repeating these negative flashbacks and sequences that they have. So I do include a short section on PTSD in this book, too. Using the protocol that was used for workers at the 9/11 site who had toxic overload and who had a lot of PTSD issues as well.
Tell us what you learned about autism. I heard you say autism before.
Yes. There is an organization that your organization reminded me of, which is the Autism Research Institute. And they started out, it was the man who had a son who was autistic, and this was 40 years ago, and his name was Bernie Rimland. And he at that time there were all these theories about the causes of autism, and he really debunked the popular theories of that day. And he formed a nonprofit that was a collaboration between the parents of autistic children and physicians who believed there was a better way to treat it than just drugs. And so over the past 40 years, this Autism Research Institute has become the leading authority on treatments that actually bring about recovery. And in autism recovery, it's important to catch it early to help children recover and get a lot of the toxic load out, get these genetic disorders identified early so that their normal development can occur. Otherwise, it's very difficult to help them recover after 16 years of being autistic.
Mm-hmm.
They can reduce
mm-hmm.
their symptoms. They can make life easier and better, but they may not recover totally. And so this, to me, if people will just go to the Autism Research Institute's website, anything they need to know will be there. But I help to make the recommendations. They have some really good things in the resources for the autism chapter. And let me just go to that so I'll give you something.
So the bottom line here that I'm hearing is, first of all, to make sure that you have all the complement of vitamins that our bodies truly need,
right,
that you understand any kind of genetic errors that may be at work underneath here that may be compounding the problem,
mm-hmm.
and then to just make sure that you're also focusing on reducing inflammation in the body. Is that a reasonable capsule summary, or is there more you would add?
And that is a good summary. One of the things with autism is most autistic doctors also become experts at detoxification. These kids have a horrible toxic load. And another factor is that many of them have very little appropriate gut flora. The beneficial microbes in their digestive systems have been altered or eradicated by too many antibiotics and too much. Many times they're even born with deficient gut flora. The mother didn't have adequate flora. So what we're seeing in autistic children and in, I think, the increase in all the mental disorders that we're seeing is attributed to each generation we have more of a toxic load than our parents had. Our parents had more of a toxic load than the grandparents, because most of these toxins entered our food chain and our web after World War II.
Right.
And so each generation is more toxic. They don't know about detoxifying. And when you have a child, the fetus takes on the toxic load of the mother, and then in their lifetime they will add more. And as an infant, they don't have the ability to withstand that level of toxins because they're so tiny. So I believe that the increasing toxic load with each generation is contributing to the increase in these mental disorders.
Right.
And
so
in
makes
this
sense.
Chapter on autism, there's one part that's really great. The website is www.autism.com, and there is a concise 27-page summary of biomedical treatments for autism by James Adams, Ph.D. And that is probably the best overview they can find. But that website has, you could spend a month reading that website. After 40 years, it's got wonderful information, very helpful, very specific. And they have conferences. Have you heard of DAN?
No.
Okay, capital DAN, exclamation point, stands for Defeat Autism Now.
Uh-huh.
And they have annual conferences. And at those conferences, they have recovered autistic children. They have parents of autistic children. And they have doctors who specialize in them. and it's an open forum. And so it's very helpful if you want to get up to speed quickly on what's available and what your options are and who the experts are.
Right.
That would be something that would be helpful.
Right. And you mentioned about this toxic buildup that keeps compounding with each generation. And I think that's true for a number of diseases. It's one of the things that we've looked at, even for VHL, is why is it that a subsequent generation might have a tougher road in some aspects than their parents or grandparents did. Mm-hmm. And there doesn't seem to be anything at the genetic level that's promoting that. But toxins in the environment are certainly one of the potential candidates for this. And also the changes in the food supply, that food is not as pure as it used to be.
Right.
I think in the 50s and 60s in particular, we had this notion that built through chemistry, scientific design, was better than Mama Nature.
Right.
So, you saw people spraying
DDT over by airplane over the heads of children in those 1950s ads.
Yep, exactly. And now penguins at the South Pole have DDT in their fat. We've spread it all over the world.
Right.
And even though DDT now has been discontinued in so many countries, it's one of those things that doesn't break down.
Right.
And because it doesn't break down, it just continues itself. And then, as you say, we add something else to it on top of it. So if we're all walking around, you and I'm sure, because we're of an age, we were around here in the 50s and 60s,
right.
So we have DDT in our fat, too. And then you take that and you add whatever adulterating things, food colorings and preservatives and everything are in the food supply. And what does that mean? And I think none of us really knows what that means. And yet, as you say, it's an assault on the immune system. Our immune systems are just geared up all the time because of this.
And Joyce, the pesticides, the word pesticide
mm-hmm.
includes herbicides, fungicides, insecticides.
Right.
were invented.
All those weed killers and ant killers and all those other things that we do to make life more pleasant.
These were invented as nerve gases in World War II. And with the end of the war...
Really?
They were looking for ways to have commercial benefits for these gases. And so all of these are highly toxic. They impact the nervous system. And people, I think it's something like 93% of Americans use this stuff on their lawn and have for years.
Hmm.
So we're poisoning ourselves to eradicate the last dandelion and the last piece of crabgrass. We are killing ourselves.
One of the things that concerns me, and I haven't seen much on it, I'd be interested if you have,
mm-hmm.
it's all these air fresheners.
Oh, they're very toxic. And I don't have anything in that my book, but it comes across my Dr. Mercola's website. He's covered it, and so I haven't saved it. But if you go to, do you know Dr. Mercola's web site?
Not well, no.
Mercola.com.
I've heard his name.
He's a physician who now sends out two or three emails a week if you sign up for them, which I do, and he's
mm-hmm.
way ahead of everybody else in terms, because he no longer practices. He does the research, he condenses it into understandable information that's relevant to anybody, and so that's one of the few listservs that I monitor, and I do pay attention, and he covers those frequently, but I haven't saved any of it. So if you go to Mercola.com, mm-hmm. you will, and put in...
I'm sorry, you broke up. So if you go to Mercola.com?
Right. And you put in the air fresheners or things like that, he will have done articles on them, and he'll have it available.
Right, because they even have these things with little fans that are blowing it into your room, and I often think to myself, how are, we're populating our air with little particles and that are going into our lungs, going into our bodies, and what are they doing in there? And I think that has not been fully checked out. We really don't know what kind of stuff we're pumping into our bodies and what the long-term effects of that buildup might be.
Well, and the problem is that Americans are being educated about health by advertisers. And they don't have to tell them the ill effects of these. They don't have to tell them the risks. They don't even have to test for the risks for stuff like that. So
for air fresheners, they don't. But for the pills, I mean, if you pay attention to that high-speed disclaimer thing that they do at the end, I mean, one of my personal favorites is the one that says, "Are you shy in social situations? Take this wonderful drug. It'll improve your social life. Oh, and by the way, it'll wreck your sex life." But, you know...
Hey, you can't have everything.
Yeah, right. You'll be more comfortable in a group situation, but forget it if you want something later. It's pretty ridiculous. Or the one about eliminating your toenail fungus by taking something that could wreck your liver.
Right.
Great.
Yes, yes. Well, trade-off. Liver that detoxifies everything in your body or the toe that stabilizes your walk. No.
Right.
You sort of want both.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I guess my point to people is there are non-drug, non-chemical options. They're not expensive. They're not patented. They're inexpensive. You can afford them, and you just have to find them. And you can't. And you're not going to hear about
them. Information about this is not readily available from your doctor.
No.
It's not promoted by the AMA. It's not going to be advertised on TV. You're going to have to go do some research about it. And your book is a good place to start.
Well, thank you. Well, I think it's really important that people know that the web is also a great place to begin and put in what your worst symptom, put it in and see what happens. You know, I'm still working. I'm still on my own healing journey. I've solved depression and bipolar and arthritis and stopped cancer tumor growth, but I'm aging. That brings a whole bunch of new challenges.
Right, and that's a good thing. We all rejoice that we're aging, and at the same time, as you say, there are new challenges to deal with. So we'll keep on learning as we go. So thank you so much, Gracelyn, for being with us today. And let's go over again. Your website is?
CrazyRecovery.com.
CrazyRecovery.com. Oh, that's
right.
Cute. Okay. So Gracelyn Guyol, G-U-Y-O-L, at CrazyRecovery.com. And you'll see she's got some books in Amazon and so forth. If you're dealing with any of these issues, then you might want to start with one of her books and check it out. And as she says, it's only a starting point, but it's a very good starting point, and you get to capitalize on the research that she's already done. So anything else you'd like to particularly leave with our listeners before we sign off today?
What I like people to realize is that even if they have a severe mental disorder, they have hope. There is hope to recover, really recover, not learn to live with your illness, not maintain, but actually recover. You have to be the person who's in charge. Take charge of your illness. You're like the general contractor. You'll probably need more than one doctor to find all the solutions that you'll need, but start with the worst symptom first. Find a doctor to work with you on that who's been trained to heal without drugs, and they are naturopathic doctors or orthomolecular practitioners, and that's in my book. And then begin. It's a journey. It won't be overnight, but you'll feel better faster than you think. I mean, for me, I noticed the difference in 2 weeks, and then I lost my arthritis in 6 weeks, and I was dramatically better in 6 months. So you want to go that direction instead of progressively getting worse from the side effects of taking 10 different medications that all interact with each other.
Thank you. And one other thing I'd like to point out before we sign off is that there are situations where what looks like a mental condition does, in fact, have serious underlying medical problems.
Right.
One of them is an adrenal tumor, for example, called a pheochromocytoma, that can create psychotic-looking symptoms. But, in fact, when you get rid of the pheo, all the symptoms go away. So do be sure to check with a doctor and get things like that ruled out before you can start treating this exclusively as a mental issue. So,
and if you have,
Gracelyn, thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
If we have time, I heard a nurse who was the head of geriatrics for all of Los Angeles County, and she said at that time 83% of Alzheimer's dementia patients actually had physical causes that were unidentified. So in all instances of mental disorders, have a physical first, a complete physical, a really good one, and and then start there, because lots of times people can hit their head and have a concussion and never remember to tell the doctor about it. So do have a physical, do the basics, but then find a special doctor to help you get to find alternative ways to end your illness rather than just treating it forever.
Great. Well, thank you again, and thanks, everybody, for being with us. My schedule during September will be a little bit erratic. I'm going to a conference and delivering a paper on pheochromocytomas, so I'm going to have a week off in the middle of September, but then I'll be back with reports from the conference that I think you'll find fascinating, and we'll build in certain ways on top of what we've been talking about here today with Gracelyn. So thanks again, and have a good time, and hopefully I'll see you next week. And meanwhile, be well and be a powerful patient. Thank you.